Christmas, a beautiful sight for a happy tonight, walking in a winter wonderland.
So it's Virginia, and the old saying goes, if you don't like the weather, just wait, it'll change. We definitely have had a lot of weather changes here, and if you're like us, we're not going out in any of this mess. So obviously, stay home, be safe, and have fun with your family, church. It's great that we get to spend a little time together, and we just wanted to bring the Word of God to you this week as something that hopefully will encourage you, just a message from the Bible. And you know, you're probably looking behind me and seeing my stockings and stuff. Don't judge. I know some of you are out there just like me, and you're in denial about 2017 even being here yet because you want to hang on to Christmas. It's totally fine and okay. Last week we talked a little bit about when truth becomes action, and we're going to talk a little bit about that again today. And as I was just thinking about it, I believe that truth is most powerful when it's applied, right? Otherwise, it's just potential in your life. But when you put action to it, it releases that potential and brings about a miraculous, wonderful, supernatural change. And so one of the thoughts that I had around that I just want to talk a little bit with you about is contextualizing truth. And sometimes it's easy to look at truth or a principle in the Word of God from a distance or objectively, and just take it at face value, although some of the words of Jesus, I think, were a little bit of a slap in the face at times, particularly to the disciples, like when he was trying to go through Samaria, or whether he was talking about his crucifixion and the disciples not wanting him to die, or whether he was talking about forsaking everything to follow him. There were lots of things that just totally challenged them. But when you look at truth outside of your life, it's just normally a lot easier to handle. I think it becomes something completely different when you start to look at a truth and put it in the context of your life. And that's usually quite a bit more difficult, particularly when you start looking at the circumstances of your life, maybe some of the challenges of your life, maybe some long-standing struggles that you've had in your life. That revelation can all of a sudden get watered down, and you can start to maybe justify why you wouldn't apply something or how you just can't apply something. And I think it's tempting, even common, to explain away, invalidate, or even just simply ignore truth in the Word of God that we feel like is overwhelming or hard for us to apply or live up to in our life. So maybe something like, how can I really be generous or even tithe when I'm swamped in debt, laid off of work, having difficulty there? How do I forgive someone that's no longer living or never said they were sorry or that has caused me so much pain? How do I have a great marriage when my spouse isn't a follower of Jesus or doesn't even care to try to love me like the Bible says? I think it's easy to justify an action, and it made me think a lot about why some people grow and progress and even thrive through seasons of life, and others get stuck in their faith, defining their Christianity by their experience instead of how God intended it to be. There was a article in a Harvard Health magazine that talked about change, and it really intrigued me because it talked about change is not an event, but more of a process. And this theory that the article was addressing was developed in the 80s by some, honestly, alcoholism researchers. They were trying to find how behavioral change takes place. And they developed this concept that change happens in five different stages. And the presumption is that we're always in one of those stages. And if you skip through those stages or jump stages, it just sets you back. You really don't actually engage in meaningful change, but that you're all in one. And being in a change, once you've completed it, once you've completed one of those stages of change, actually allows you to go on to the next one. And so I started looking into that a little bit because I want meaningful change in my life for 2017. I think you probably do as well. You don't want to go around the mountain again in some of the areas of your life that are troublesome or problematic for you. And so One of the five stages is pre-contemplation, and that is exactly what it sounds like. It's you're at a place where you know something's an issue, but you have no intention of really dealing with it, and that can come through a lack of awareness or information, or because you've tried in the past and just been demoralized. So one of the major resolutions for 2017 is losing weight, right? It's always one of the top two when it comes to the surveys that come back. And so many people, of course, really don't ever get there. And what that would look like from an awareness standpoint is maybe you say, hey, I've always been overweight. It runs in my family, obesity. It's just the way we are. It's genetic. When it comes to failure or being demoralized, it might have been, man, I've tried in the past. Nothing really seems to work for me. It's just really difficult. And I think this kind of reminds me of the parable that we talked about last week with Jesus, the seed and the four soils. The Bible says when the seed is sown, the enemy comes immediately to steal it. And so what I thought about was a thought that challenges the status quo can very often be the Holy Spirit planting a divine seed that can produce something absolutely remarkable in our lives. And all too often, I think we get in the place of not wanting that seed to take root because we explain it away. We're not ready for that. We've tried that. Or, you know what, that's just not who I am. It's not my lot in life. It's not what's going to be my future. And very often, that's the enemy stealing away a Holy Spirit seed that God is trying to place in your life that he wants to grow and produce meaningful change. The second stage was contemplation, and that's when you really start to think about, okay, what would happen if you start to entertain the possibility that this could happen and what kind of life could I have after that? And a lot of times you begin to start to think about pros and cons to, well, if I do this, it's going to mean this, or what is it going to take to get me to that? And that's where the faith challenge starts to begin. When you start to really consider the things that God has planned for your life and the seeds that he wants to sow. When you get to that stage, you can move into preparation, which is the third stage. And that really, you start to plan it out. You buy that gym membership. You do whatever it takes. You start planning your day out. You take meaningful steps to apply change. Action is the fourth stage, and maintenance is the fifth stage. And what really struck me about those two stages is that maintenance was even a part of it. And it made me start to think about kind of like the whole maintenance aspect of what we do. And it's major. It's kind of interesting that comes after action, because I start to think about the Nike commercial. There's a famous slogan that Nike has that says, just do it. And it's so motivational, so engaging, especially for a sports apparel company, because it just makes you want to take action. The downside to that is it doesn't lead to necessarily lasting change, because the slogan really then needs to be, keep doing it. Not just do it, but keep doing it. And so the problem for a lot of us is that we stop once we actually hit meaningful change, and we don't continue to do the things that got us to that point that made us successful. So a lot of times people will go on that diet, lose 20, 30, 40, maybe even 50 pounds, and a year later, they've got a weight a net gain of zero. You know, they put it all back on, because the maintenance then becomes the issue. Israel encountered that when they went into the promised land, right? They forgot to do the things that got them in there initially, that made them successful. And that was remembering God and his word in their life and just taking basic practical steps, which any of us can do, church. And so it made me think about one passage of scripture, just kind of my thought process on this. And it was in Revelation 2, where Jesus is writing to the church through the apostle John. And he's writing to some people that were in a church in Ephesus. And he said, hey, listen, here's the problem. You have forsaken your first love. Consider how high you've fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. And if you read Revelation 2, you'll find that the people in this particular church did a really, really good job of knowing truth and protecting it. In fact, in that passage of scripture, Jesus even commends them for knowing truth and protecting it and fighting against heresy. The Nicolaitans, we won't go into and what they believed, but they fought against heresy. They fought against threats to truth. They knew the truth, and they did a really good job defending it. So if you look, it wasn't about their knowledge. There were two issues. There was a heart problem, and there was a maintenance problem. And so Jesus tells them in his letter to go back and remember the things that they used to do. It's a maintenance thing. It's taking continued action on some things that you just know are right, that will help that seed that God wants to plant in your life grow and produce fruit in every stage of your life. And so one of the things was just maintenance. The other was a heart condition. And I got to tell you, if you look at that passage of scripture, I never really did. I wondered, why did they have a heart issue? You know, why do they need to remember their first love? And Jesus most specifically talks to them and says, hey, listen, I know what you've been through. I know the problems you've had. I know the persecution you've gone through. I know the things that you've endured. He actually is commending them. He's saying, I get it. I know it. And Jesus will never leave you or forsake you. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows exactly what the challenges are in 2017 for you. So if you just look at the truth that God's trying to plant in your life, sow into your life, just like the Ephesians, God knows exactly what you've been through. He knows your story, and your story is important to him. And yet, it shouldn't be a hindrance. It should be a help to doing what he's called you to do in 2017. And I think a lot of times we stop doing what we need to do because of a heart problem. And the heart problem comes because of what we've gone through, because of the difficulty that we've been through, because of what we didn't expect, because of what we didn't plan for, and it stymies the growth and the change that God wants to bring into our lives, especially when you go through difficult circumstances. And in it all, there needs to be a resolve and a realization for our church in 2017 and for you personally that I can and I will. I can do it and I will do it because God has given me the grace. All things are possible. He strengthened me. Greater is he that's in me than what I'm facing, than the one in the world, right? And so there's an important line in this passage of scripture that I want to just mention briefly, and it's something that Jesus asks the people of the church to do. He says, consider the height from which you have fallen. And when I think about that, that directive can be so meaningful and so beneficial to contemplate, because really what it does is it helps you begin to see where you currently are living in light of where God wants you to be. Where am I now and where does God want me to be in the future? You begin to see the times where you let the seed die because of the environment of your life, that you deem too harsh to allow it to grow because of the circumstances that were mitigating against that seed, that thought, that Holy Spirit moment, that faith taking root in your life and producing something dynamic, something that's lasting. And it's time to start planning again. It's time to start dreaming again. It's time to take inventory. It's time to see where you are now and where God wants you to be in the future. It's time to build that on the rock of Jesus Christ. It's time to do all that's necessary to take that initial step and to then allow God to do something awesome. If you're already taking that step, then it's about continuing to do what you already know to do. Those meaningful seeds of change, those actions that you already know. Hey, I'm gonna keep on keeping on. I'm gonna keep on doing it. I'm not just gonna do it. I'm gonna keep on doing it. I'm just gonna allow God to do that. And you know, when you think about that, all of this deals with behavioral change for the most part. It doesn't, only God changes a heart, right? He has the power to do that. But in dealing with heart change, God's the one who prepares the meal, but you're the one who needs to set the table. And when you think about that, God transforms your heart, but dragging yourself out of bed, getting into church, participating in worship, being immersed in his presence, taking practical action, whether it's in your marriage or your finances or your life, those are things that you can do. And yes, you can do them. And my prayer for you is that you will do them. Come on, church, 2017 is really, really bright. And don't get blinded or overwhelmed by the light. Walk boldly into it and allow all that God has for you to come to pass as you begin to build your life on the rock and start to change some things by letting that seed of faith take root in your life. We love you. We hope you have a great time with your kids and your family. We'll see you next week. Throw lots of snowballs. Have lots of fun. Be safe. God bless you. Good talking with you.
We have just heard an amazing word from Pastor Jonathan. He is the lead pastor here at House of Prayer. Now listen, if you are viewing this video through the website, we want to encourage you to just kind of explore. So go ahead and scroll back up to the top page. All the menu options that are right up there. You can find out more about the different connect groups that we have. You can get information about who we are as a church, the different things that we believe. Not only that, but you can even give of your tithe and your offering right here through the website. And we want to encourage you, if you don't have a home church, we would love to see you Sunday mornings. Be sure to check the website often as we are about to add a second service. Thanks again for watching. God bless.